We're going to be starting a new series entitled Glory. But before I get into that, why don't you go ahead and grab your Bibles, hold those up in the air, repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. The Lord began to deal with me to talk about glory back in October. And kind of resonated, began praying about it, kind of saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And began to prep for it even this week. And then all of a sudden, this week, there were some tremendous storms that passed through our areas, and these tornadoes came in and just took out some great communities really close to us here. Over the last few days, it's been great to be a part of the body of Christ, More Than Life Church, all around. It's been super exciting to see all these churches come together to go help rebuild and bless some of these families and communities. I got to tell you, we live in a tremendous region that can come together in times of crisis. You can celebrate that. I think that's pretty awesome. It was great to see on Facebook and throughout the internet all these churches rallying together. Yesterday, there's about 900 volunteers that showed up in Rochelle to do relief efforts, to pass out food and water and to start cleanup, which was great. And those 900 volunteers came from multiple churches, and it was awesome. Churches like First Assembly in Rockford or Rockford First, churches like Heartland, churches like Life Church, churches out in Marengo and Elburn and Riverside Assembly of God and other churches. It's just great that the body of Christ knows what to do, and they come together and all of us see this is not one church. This is all, we are the church, everybody. You know, and so I wanted to let you know that we are a part of those relief efforts. We'll continue to be a part of them. They're currently not asking for finances. They're asking for people, for involvement. And so over the next few weeks, please be following our website. We'll let you know how to get involved. Maybe go down there and do some cleanup. You can take a day off of work, or we'll be doing things on the weekends as a church. And we'll be informing you about that. But it was really interesting throughout this week saying, Lord, I'm about to talk about glory. How does that relate? Because it's really important to me that every message always relates to where people are. And I'm saying, Lord, you know, when you think of glory, people think of clouds and they think of like big services where people get all excited and emotional and all this stuff. And they think of like the glow, the heavenly halo, and they think of all this stuff. And as God began to unpack glory to me, I began to realize there is no greater message than the message of glory right now in our communities. You're going to see something today in the Bible, and that is really glory is for the hurting person. Glory comes into the valley of the shadow of death. Glory comes in the wilderness. Glory comes when people are in great tragedy and great hurt. Are you ready? Are you excited? All right, open your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of John chapter 11. Absolutely, John chapter 11. I want to teach you today. I want glory to become relevant in your world, relevant in your life. I want you to be able to see it, touch it, experience it. And I think it's going to make a whole lot of sense by the end of the service today. John chapter 11, the story begins where Jesus' friend, a good friend named Lazarus, dies. Jesus is informed that he's sick and that he's dying, and he waits, which isn't typical of Jesus. Typically, you'd think, okay, Jesus is going to go and fix this, but he didn't. He didn't come. He waited for some reason. And then he shows up a few days later after the death has taken place, after Lazarus is buried, and it's over. It's over. It looks like it's over, and it's the end. It's darkness. It's all we can see. We know death. Death means it's done. There's nothing that can be done. And that's where we see Jesus coming in. We see the sisters of Lazarus kind of upset with Jesus for not being there, questioning him. But Jesus has something to tell them. And so you see here in John chapter 11, verse 38, So Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's going to be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." I love that was her biggest concern. Like, it's going to smell. You know, he's been dead for 4 days. Then Jesus says to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" That was Jesus' comment to her. Did I not tell you, basically, this is something I've told you before, that if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. Now, he didn't tell her to believe to see the glory, he said, believe. And what was he referring to? He was saying, didn't I tell you, if you just believe me, if you just keep your eyes on me, if you stop, don't question right now, just trust me. If you trust Jesus, you're going to see the glory of God. And what was he saying this in? He was saying this in the middle of a really dark place in their life, wasn't he? In the middle of a tragedy that looked like all was lost. It's over. He's dead. Dead is dead. But you know what? There's never an end. There's never an impossibility. All things are possible to those who are going to believe. Amen? And so God just says, look, if you keep your trust in me, if you keep your faith in me, in the middle of tragedy, in the middle of loss, in the middle of your hardest times, you are going to see the glory of God. I want to teach you what that word glory is, because I want to open your mind today that it's bigger than you possibly ever thought it was. It wasn't that you're going to see lights and smoke and clouds and lightning. What you're going to see is something even better, and I'm going to get there in just a second. But that word see there is pretty interesting, because it doesn't mean you're going to see it passively. Like, oh, look, there it is. Wow, okay. Squirrel. No, it doesn't mean that. It's an astonishment. What Jesus is saying is, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you are going to be eyes wide open, mouth wide. This is what the word looks like in the Greek. Your eyes are going to be wide open, your mouth's going to drop, and you are going to be amazed at what God does in this situation. That's what the glory of God, when it comes in, you're going to sit back and say, it looked impossible. Everything looked devastated, just like these communities that we're talking about. Everything was a loss. It's the end. It's over. This is a terrible moment. And yet Jesus says, if you'll believe me, if you'll keep your eyes on me, you're going to be amazed at what you're about to see. And so I encourage you today, maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're in a tragedy moment. You're in a dark place. You're in a valley. You're in a place where things look impossible. It looks like it's over. If only God would have shown up 6 months ago. But you know what? Get your eyes on Jesus today. Get your eyes on his faithfulness, amen? And you will be amazed. And the reason people get amazed is because it's bigger than they ever thought. It's better than they could have imagined. That's why you're amazed, understand? It came from a way that you couldn't have put it together. That's what makes people amazed. And you are going to be amazed by Jesus, and you're going to see the glory of God. That's what Jesus told her. And that's what happened. Basically, they thought it was over. He smells, he stinketh in the King James, which I think is the funniest one. He stinketh. There's your word for the day. Jesus says, move the stone. And the Bible says, with a loud voice, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. I love that. He didn't say it like calm or just quietly. He could have. You realize volume isn't what did it. But I think Jesus was just sitting there saying, he's just motivated right here. And he just got in the moment. He's like, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says Lazarus came forth and out of the tomb, out of the grave. And he came just like he was. He was wrapped in grave clothes and stuff. And Jesus had to say, loose him. Get him out of those grave clothes. So my imagination thinks to myself, what was he, like a mummy coming out all wrapped in grave clothes? Like, you know, or maybe he couldn't walk and he had to like hop out of the tomb. Like, I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming, Jesus. You know, I mean, maybe your mind's a little different than my mind uses its imagination. The Bible's really interesting when you have fun with it. And Lazarus is like hopping out of the tomb here. Loose that man. Let him go. And then Lazarus is set free. But Jesus ends up bringing him back to life again, which is really powerful. But I want to get now to the word glory, because that's where this series is going to head. And I think as you understand glory, you're going to be able to have faith in it. You're going to be able to have expectation in it. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus, chapter 33. It's Old Testament. If you're new to your Bibles, you can basically go to the beginning of your Bible, take a right, and you'll be there within a few pages. Okay, so Exodus, chapter 33. This is a story with Moses. Moses was God's deliverer, leader to lead God's people out of Egypt. He'd been leading them for a while now in the wilderness. God had been providing different things. They'd seen a lot of things up to this point. They had seen God's power. They had seen God demonstrate himself physically, manifest power in Egypt. God was judging all the gods of Egypt. He was bringing all kinds of signs and wonders into the land. Turned the sky, the daylight, turned it into darkness. There was fiery hail that came out of the sky. He parted the water of the Red Sea. I mean, they've seen some stuff. Turned the Nile River into blood. For a period of time. I mean, they had seen some things up to this point, some miraculous things. But yet Moses in this moment has kind of an honest conversation between him and God. There were some things going on with Israel, which there was always an issue because there was always this rebellious thing kind of happening while they were wandering in the wilderness. And Moses begins interceding again, and all this conversation is going on. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the conversation, Moses says, Show me your glory. And you think to yourself, hadn't Moses already seen God's glory? He had seen fire come out of heaven. He had seen the Red Sea open up. He had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet Moses wanted to see something more. Moses wanted to see something lasting. Moses wanted to see something of God's glory that wasn't in those big manifestations. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Moses, in this moment with God, says, God, show me your glory. I want to see it. And that's where we pick up here in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Moses said, I pray, show me your glory. And God said, I will make myself and all of my goodness pass before you. Underline that in your Bible, please. Wait a minute. Back up. Moses says, God, show me your glory. And God says, okay, I'm going to show you my goodness. I propose to you today, and I'm going to link this together, that the glory of God is the goodness of God. It's not the clouds. It's not the smoke. It's not the glowing. It's not the fire by night. It's not angel feathers. It's not gold dust. It's the goodness of God in a person's life. That's the glory of God. So you see God tell Moses here, Moses, I want to see your glory. God says, okay, I'm going to show you my goodness. It will pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Jump down to chapter 34, verse 5. So now it happens. The moment arrives. The Lord descends in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord then passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquities and transgressions and sins. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquities of the father on the children, the grandchildren, the third and fourth generation. That speaks of his righteousness. That speaks of holiness, of which he's a just judge. But I want you to see what he was saying before all of that. He was talking about his goodness. He was talking about his mercy. And honestly, if people would have responded to his mercy and goodness, there would be no judgment for them. So this is him saying, if you won't take my goodness, you won't take my love, then I'm still just. And I still have to deal with that. But the beginning, what he wants you to hear, what he wants you to see here is this. When Moses said, show me your glory, God says, I'm going to show you my goodness. So then God comes down and he begins to declare and reveal himself, make himself known, make himself tangible, make himself relevant, understandable to Moses. The great I am began to define what he is. And as the great I am walked by Moses, and Moses said, I want to see your glory. Always keep this in context. You know what God thought the most glorious thing Moses could see? His heart, his goodness, his mercy. Are you seeing what I'm saying? His loving kindness, his grace, his compassion that is renewed every morning to the sinner, to the transgressor, that God is for you, not against you, that he's willing to bring himself into your world. You didn't deserve him. You don't qualify for him, but he wants you to know him in this way. Are you understanding? You see, a sinner doesn't need smoke and lightning. He needs grace and mercy. Amen. That's more glorious than something sensational happening around. Amen. They had seen the smoke. They had seen the lightning. They had seen the ocean part. They had seen the fire out of heaven. What they hadn't understood was who God was and his goodness. And so God was saying, I'll show you my glory. And when you see this, you're going to know me, and it's going to be real. It's going to matter. It's going to be important. It's going to be relevant. You know, so many times I think in church, we miss the glory of God, even in praying for the glory of God to happen in our churches or in our world or in our culture, because we're still looking for the fanciful. We're still looking for the spectacular, thinking we want to see the glory of God. What we want to see is the goodness of God manifest in people's lives. There is glory happening every day that we miss and fail to see and fail to appreciate, or we're even praying for something that we wouldn't even recognize it if it came. Because we're looking for glow, we're looking for smoke, we're looking for feathers, we're looking for something. And what really God deems to be glory is a human being experiencing his goodness, a human being experiencing His grace, His mercy, His ability to restore. That's the glory of God that God was saying to Lazarus' sister, if you put your faith in Me, if you believe, you're going to see My goodness do something in the middle of this tragedy. You're going to see My grace. You're going to see My power manifest in something that's going to help you, something that's going to give you something that you didn't earn or qualify for, is going to bring something good out of this dark moment. And you're going to stand there with eyes amazed, your mouth dropped. You're going to be totally blown away what the goodness of God is able to do in the middle of that difficult moment. Are you understanding? You're going to get glory by the time we're done. You're going to understand this, and it's relevant, and it matters, and it's something we can believe in. It's something we can have faith for. It's not just glory services where there's goosebumps and emotion, and we want to see some outworking manifestation of something. We will see God's glory in this generation. Amen. But we have to understand it to see it. Because we need to know what we're believing for. We need to know what the target on the wall is. Amen? So in this lesson today, I want to teach more, kind of keep unpacking it for you a little bit more and more and more. I want to continue to link to you that God's goodness is linked to His glory. Let me show you another place in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Solomon, which was David, King David's son, began to build the temple of God and began to ask God to then inhabit it with Himself. And so now they've prepared the sacrifices and they're all ready to open the temple of God. And now everyone's gathered together to begin the ceremony. When the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, which would be the priestly singers, Asaph, Heman, Judithan, their sons, their kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals and harps and lyres, standing east of the altar, with them 120 priests, blowing trumpets in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice, the priests and to glorify the Lord, when they lifted up their voices, accompanied by the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments and the music, when they had praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. They began declaring who God is. They began declaring and worshiping and celebrating His goodness. And as they did that, the Bible says, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Notice, they weren't singing about a cloud. They were singing about God's goodness. They were celebrating His faithfulness and His mercy and His provision, His protection, His love, His kindness. And in that, the glory of God fills the house. Now you could say, oh, the cloud filled the house. No, the cloud was present. The glory of God filled the house. God Himself fills the house. The good God who said, I am these things which are good, filled the house. The cloud is just an outworking physical manifestation of something that people could see, but the glory was God. Amen. And who is God? God is love, the Bible says. God is good. Jesus said there's none good but God. God is merciful and compassionate and loving kindness. God is good to those who are undeserving. God, the good God, filled the house with His goodness, which is Himself. Are you understanding this? Thank you, all 25 of you that are understanding that. Makes it so worth it. You've got to see this. You have to see it's not about the lights and the smoke and the thunder and the lightning and the cloud and it's goodness. It's grace. It's something that people need in their moment of tragedy. It's something that people need when they're lonely, when they're hurting, when they're fearful. They don't need smoke and lights. They need something real. Amen. Amen. And when they began to sing about God's goodness, when they began to sing about that, His glory began to manifest. Amen. Amen. So what does it mean to see God's glory? Let me help you. What about the smoke? Because I like smoke. I like clouds, Pastor Kevin. I'm hoping to see one someday. I like clouds too. I look outside, there's like a pony, and there's like an elephant. Nothing wrong with clouds. I don't have a problem with clouds. But our expectation is bigger than clouds. Our expectation is bigger than a service where there's a mist or a fog in the house. Our expectation is something that's going to translate outside of services, outside of prayer meetings, outside of glory services, and bring the glory of God all around the world. Bring it into people's valleys. Bring it into people's, you know, their hospital bedroom. Amen? So what does it mean to see the glory of God? Well, what did people call glory throughout the Bible? Or what do even we sometimes call glory? It's a visible manifestation of God's power, of God's holiness, of God's presence, of God's goodness. I want to say that again because I want you to get this image. Whether it was demonstrated in a cloud or a fire or whatever, it's a visible manifestation, something that a human being could see, something that a human being could understand. A visible manifestation of God's power, God's holiness, God's presence, and God's goodness. You want to know what the most glorious manifestation of all that is? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Think about it. Now link what I just said back to Jesus. A manifestation of God's power. That's Jesus. A physical, knowable, touchable, relatable manifestation of God's holiness. That's Jesus. A physical, knowable, touchable, relatable presence of God in your situation. That's Jesus. Physical, knowable, touchable, meaningful goodness of God. It's all in Jesus. So why do you think Jesus said, if you keep your eyes on me, you're going to see the glory? Because he's the embodiment. He's the tangible. He's the connection. He is the fullness of God's glory in the flesh. Say, are you sure, Pastor Kevin? Yes.
Yes.
Show it to me. Okay. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, says it like this. Verse 2 and 3 from the Amplified Bible. But in the last days, he, God, has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir, talking about Jesus, lawful owner of all things. Also by and through in whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time, he made and produced and built and operated and arranged them all in order. Jesus is a part of all that. Verse 3. He, which is Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God. Think about it. What did God say on the mountain? Loving kindness through the generations. Where is that manifested any better than in Jesus? Forgiving the sins and iniquities. Where is that manifested any better than in Jesus? Jesus is the embodiment of the glory, the goodness of God.
Amen.
Amen? He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being. You want light? It's in Jesus.
Amen.
He is the light of the world. Way better than a lightning bolt. The light being, the outraying, the radiance of the divine. And he, Jesus, is the perfect imprint, the very image of God's nature, which God was revealing his nature to Moses. I am, I am, I am. Jesus is the embodiment of all of God's nature. Upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe with the mighty word of his power. When he had offered himself, accomplished our cleansing of our sins and riddance of our guilt, he, Jesus, sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Jesus is God's glory. In a real, tangible way. It's like God's glory with skin on. Jesus was God's goodness to all of us who didn't deserve him in the flesh. Glory that can be known. Glory that would matter in the life of a person that's hurting. Are you understanding? God's goodness in the flesh. God's goodness right there in the middle of your crisis, in the middle of your need. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, speaking of Jesus, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only one begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wait a minute. What did they see when people saw Jesus, the Bible says? Did they see lights? Did they see smoke? Did they see lightning bolts? No, they didn't. The Bible says they saw a man. And there was nothing about him physically that drew people to him in attraction. He was an average, normal-looking man. But yet, John says, he's the glory of God. And when we saw him, we beheld glory. But no one around Jesus in his time, they didn't realize they were seeing more glory in seeing Jesus than they saw on the mountaintops of Sinai, that they saw in the tabernacle moments where the cloud came, or they saw in the temple where the cloud and the fire and the shaking and the rattling and the priests and everybody missed the glory of God that was right in front of them because it didn't look like they were expecting. They missed it. Because they were still looking for the fanciful. They were still looking for the ethereal, the mystical, rather than something that would actually change their life.
Amen.
Are you seeing?
Yes.
I mean, Israel had clouds and fire and smoke every day, and they were the most whiny, complaining, selfish people. And so many times the church, we just wanted clouds and lights and smoke and feathers. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to be whiny, selfish people. Thank you. They didn't see that. They didn't see lights and smoke and lightning. Matter of fact, only one time did they ever see any of that glowy stuff. And it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, where just for a moment, the glory popped out of the skin. Okay? But I want you to see something. Jesus took that moment and shoved it back in the skin again and went back down the mountain and got into some little boy's world that was demon-possessed. And a dad that couldn't have any hope in anything else because he tried everything and he was ready to quit. That glory up on that mountain transfiguration didn't mean anything until it got back in that skin and went down and helped a hurting person that needed tangible glory, goodness in the flesh. Do you see what I'm saying? It's when glory puts skin on, goodness puts skin on, and gets into the work, and gets into the world, and gets into the hurt, and gets into the valley, and gets into the tragedy. That the glory of God, the goodness of God, can show up in that situation.
Yes.
Amen. I just want to teach you what glory is and what it looks like. The goodness of God in Jesus. He was taken for granted all the time because they didn't understand who he was. He was God's. There was more glory in front of them than they possibly could have imagined. And they couldn't see it because they were still looking for the ethereal, the fanciful. Amen? The Bible tells us about Jesus, Acts 10:38. You know Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What did Jesus do? God's manifestation of glory, the sole expression of God's glory. What did he do? He went around doing good. Because that's what glory does. That's what glory is. And when glory shows up in someone's life and what was bad gets turned into God's goodness, they celebrate and praise and they go, glory to God. And they stand there with their eyes wide open and their mouth dropped and they're amazed that God could be so good to them in such a bad situation. Are you hearing it? It's amazing. Jesus, the light being, didn't walk around glowing. He walked around doing good.
Yes.
And wherever there was oppression from the devil, wherever there was destruction from the devil, he fixed it. He got involved. He brought God's goodness into that person's world and set them free. That's glory. That's the glory we need to be praying for in this world. That's the expectation, the church, as we intercede and as we pray for the next move of God, that it wouldn't be churches filled with smoke and lights. We actually can do that by ourselves. We just turn on a switch. We just fill it with smoke. That's easy. You want smoke? We got it. You want lights? We got it. But you know what we really want? The glory of God. We want the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Amen. It's not Hollywood. It's not pretty sometimes doing ministry and doing good and healing those who are oppressed of the devil. It doesn't always look attractive and it doesn't always look glamorous. You know, we are now Jesus, his representation, his body in this generation. And so now this work of glory, the glory of God filling the earth and getting into the darkness and getting into the hurting, it's going to come through our lives because we are the carriers of Christ. We are the carriers of God's glory. We are the carriers of God's goodness. And so when we go, he goes with us, and we go to do what? Not to light up, not to smoke, not to do those things. We go to bring goodness. So when you think, God, how can we bring glory to you and glory into my workplace? Ask a different question. How can I bring your goodness into your workplace? How can I bring your glory into my school? Ask a different question. How can I bring your goodness into my school? You see what I'm saying? You want to see what glory looks like today? Let's show you a picture real quick. I want you to see something glorious. You're going to see a picture of about 900 volunteers that came out to rebuild Rochelle yesterday. That's glory.
Amen.
That's not light. That's not smoke. They don't need any more thunder and lightning. What they needed was goodness with skin on.
Amen.
That's multiple churches, not just Life Church. I never want it to be about one church. That's multiple churches.
Amen.
In our region, gathering together to clean up stuff, to feed people that are hungry, that just need hope and just need a friend, just need someone to say, you're not alone in this situation. That is more glory than any thunderbolt or cloud or light bulb moment. That's the glory of the Lord. It's real. It's tangible. It means something.
Yes.
What did glory mean when we're in church and we're like, glory and glory and we want the glory? What does that mean? May we know what it means so that we can see it, feel it, touch it. It's tangible. It's real.
Yes.
And it matters.
Amen.
People missed the glory in Jesus because they were still looking for the cloud and the fire. You know, I think I think about when Jesus was being good to people and how when he's praying for the sick or he's freeing someone from a demonic spirit, how, again, when we see it on the television, when we see it in like the movies on History Channel or whatever, it just seems kind of glorious or glamorous. It's like a sick person comes and the soundtrack begins. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus moves towards them. Hallelujah. Prays for them. And they are healed and they're like, amen. These moments, and Jesus floats to the next person. He prays for them. Jesus casts out a devil from this person, and it's like dun 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 dun. Be gone, devil. And so then when we pray for the sick and there's no soundtrack, it doesn't seem all that glorious. We're casting out a devil and it's just work.
Yeah.
Effort. We don't see the reality of it. I mean, even in Jesus' moment, they're in these little houses. It's hot in Israel. I can just imagine it. Packed. And we're like, that's amazing. It's packed. Well, it's packed with sweaty, smelly Middle Easterns. And the deodorant wasn't invented. And who knows if they're wearing perfume or cologne or who knows what's going on. But in that moment, it's not very glamorous, is what I'm saying. And the house is packed, and this person's manifesting a devil over here, and the person in here is like, it's not glorious. They want out. And we're thinking, everyone thinks, this is amazing. Look what's going on. The truth is, when people were getting healed and set free, Jesus had more critics around him that didn't get it because they didn't understand the glory of setting someone free from an addiction or a bondage or a bitterness or a devil. They didn't understand the glory of a sinner being forgiven who didn't deserve to be forgiven. They didn't understand what glory was. They didn't understand God. And so they became critical and cynical because it wasn't what they were looking for. Are you understanding?
Amen.
There's so much glory all around us that we get to be a part of, but it doesn't look glorious. That's what I'm trying to see. Yesterday, yeah, it's glorious to look at a picture and think of 900 adults out there serving, but you know what? It got hot out there. And they got hungry, and they might have got a splinter. And it's like, ow, where's the glory? It hurts. They got calluses today, but those are glorious calluses.
Amen.
Amen? When you pray for the sick, sometimes they pop right up and right out of that hospital room. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's weeks of going in there, reading scriptures and verses and encouraging them and loving them and standing with them. And it looks like work. It doesn't look like clouds. It doesn't look like lightning bolts. It doesn't look like smoke or angel feathers. It looks like a person sitting there doing work.
Right.
Or walking someone into freedom and deliverance when they get set free in a moment, but then we have to work through their mindsets and work through their physical addictions and walk them into total freedom. That takes effort. It takes work. It doesn't look like glory, but it's glory. It's goodness. It looks like work. It looks like effort. It looks like something that's not Hollywood, but it's real.
Yes.
It's real. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Every day, there's glory all around you. There's God's goodness being revealed all around you. So not only do I want you to understand what glory is so you can bring it. Bring it. I love that. You want to, let's bring it. You know, I want you to understand God's glory so you can bring it. I want you to understand God's glory so you can see it in your own life.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalms chapter 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy follow me or pursue me all, A-L-L, all the days of my life. God's goodness is in my life all the days of my life. That's glory.
Amen.
There is glory in your life every day, on a good day and on a bad day. But you need to start seeing God's goodness around you. Amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you're going to be amazed at what you see in your world, in your life. If you woke up this morning and you could open your eyes and take a breath and you're still alive, you just saw the goodness of God. If there's strength in your legs and strength in your hands to go and do a good day's work, you've just seen the glory of God.
Amen.
That's the goodness of God. If you've got kids that are healthy and that love God or love you, that's the glory of God. If you're at a traffic light and all of a sudden a car zooms by and you could have been hit but you weren't, that's the glory of God. That's the goodness of God. And you know what? You say, Pastor Kevin, oh, you know, that's all just like random things. Let me tell you something. The fact that you can be forgiven today after being the idiot that you normally are, amen, and that I normally am, that's the glory of God. That's the goodness of God. I don't deserve to be in right standing with God any day, which means every day I am in the glory of God. I'm not in the glory when a thundercloud comes down. I'm not in the glory when lights start glowing. I live in the glory of God. I live, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life and your life. We want to be the glorious church. So you need to know what a glorious church is going to look like. We're not going to light up like light bulbs.
Amen.
Helping in disaster cleanup areas, that's the glory of God. Serving in food pantries, that's the glory of God. Serving children in children's ministries and tending to their needs, that's the glory of God. Serving and doing good in your school or your workplace or in your community, that's the glory of God. Helping the oppressed, doing good in their life, that's the glory of God. Praying for the sick, that's the glory of God. Walking people in freedom, that's the glory of God. Here's what I want you to see. In each of those situations, those people didn't need a cloud. They needed you.
Amen.
They didn't need an angel feather. They needed God's goodness to come in. They didn't need a light bulb moment or glow. They needed you.
Amen.
To bring goodness into their world. Are you understanding?
Amen.
See, what Israel didn't need was more fanciful. They needed real. They needed God in the flesh. And they didn't see, they didn't understand what the glory looked like when it was standing right in front of them. This may look like work, and it is, but it also looks like glory. Habakkuk, last verse, and we're going to close in a word of prayer. Habakkuk, yes, there is a Bible book named Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 14 says it like this. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. How is the earth going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? Are they going to be filled with the knowledge of smoke and feathers and glow bulbs moments? No, the knowledge of the glory is the knowledge of God's goodness.
Amen.
It's the knowledge of His mercy, which is renewed every morning. It's the knowledge of His good news, which is the gospel message. The earth needs to be filled in every highway, in every byway, in every dark valley, in every sinner's home, in every lost person's life, in every hurting and broken heart. The earth needs to be filled, not with smoke, but the knowledge, the understanding of God's goodness in their life. Of God is for them, not against them. God is not abandoning them when it looks lost and it looks like it's the end and it looks like Lazarus is dead and it's over. God has glory. God has a way to make it good.
Amen.
Amen. And the earth gets filled with the knowledge of the glory. How does it get filled? It gets filled as the believers go into all the world like Jesus. It's not going on its own. The glory's not going on its own. The glory goes in our flesh, like it came in Jesus' flesh. The glory goes with us. And as we spread into the world and we get ourselves in places of great need and great hurt and great pain, we bring then the knowledge of God's glory. And I love that. That's a prophecy, people. Listen to that prophecy. Amen. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea. Amen. I love that. Water can get into any crack. Water can get into any little thing that's there. And we can bring the goodness of God. We can bring the glory of God. Amen. Go ahead, stand up. I want to pray this into your life. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I want to pray this into Life Church. I pray that we receive an understanding, a revelation of the glory, the goodness of God. That this powerful, kind of seemingly unknowable word, glory, starts to take shape. Starts to become real and tangible and believable and in matter in this culture and in this world. And Lord, we want to see it in our lives and we want to reveal it in the lives of others. I pray even this week as we look around that we have these glory moments where we see God's goodness and we're like, that's God's glory. That's God's glory in my life. That's God's glory in my life. Make us aware, I pray, in Jesus' name. Before I dismiss, I'd like to just kind of sing that one song a little bit, just a couple lines of that song we sang earlier. Now I think you're going to sing it with a little bit more understanding and begin to worship God on another level. Would you please? Let's sing this song one more time.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, let us become
before I dismiss, I want to give people an opportunity to let the goodness of God into their life, maybe for the first time. He has a glorious plan for you. If you're out of relationship with the Lord for any reason, the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of His glory. What happened? We fell out of His goodness. And we can't get back in there on our own. He had to come to us, pay the price of it. The Bible says we all have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, separation from God, from His goodness eternally. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The goodness of God coming to you. Isn't that awesome? Jesus Christ. The Bible says all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's goodness is coming to you in Jesus. And He's going to bring you back into His glory, which is this place of goodness for your life. It's awesome. It's throne of grace. Let me pray for you. Close your eyes, bow your heads if you would, please. If you're out of relationship with the Lord for any reason today, you say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. I've never given my heart to God. I've never given my heart to Jesus. And I would like to. I want to receive this good God and His forgiveness of my sin. I want it in my life. Or you might say, Pastor Kevin, I used to have a relationship with God, but I became bitter, cynical, and I just let my relationship with God die. But I'd like to reconnect with Him. You don't know where you'd go today. If you were to die today and stand before God, if you don't know where you would stand or how that would work out, today's your day to get things right. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray with you right at your seat, but I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to acknowledge you want prayer. So that's why I asked everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. I'm the only one looking around. If that's you, say, Pastor Kevin, I want to give my life to God or rededicate my life to God today. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you be brave enough just to slip your hand up right where you are, and I'll pray for you today. Anybody? There's a hand in the middle. Anybody else? Just pop your hand up, and we'll pray for you today. Just pop your hand right up, and we'll pray for you today, wherever you are. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pray for me, Pastor Kevin. I don't want to leave this place out of relationship with God. There's another hand in the back. Awesome. Anybody else today? God's goodness. Why resist it? Anybody else? All right, church, let's all pray together so that those that raised their hand would have us praying with them. Pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate those two that raised their hand? Pretty awesome. God's goodness. That's glory. That's glory. Can I get my prayer team to come to the front? We got a great prayer team that's going to be here available to you. You might need God's goodness in another way in your life. You might need healing. You might need freedom in an area. You might want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. These are great, trustworthy prayer workers down here. You can confide in them. They're going to be faithful to pray for you faithfully. They go through classes and training, so I just want to empower them to pray for you. I'm going to dismiss you, and as I do, if you prayed that prayer to give your heart to Jesus, right behind our video cameras, there's an area you can talk to some of our volunteers. They have Bibles and resources to help you in your journey. We just don't want you to have to do that by yourself. We want to be a friend to you. So let me bless you and pray for you, and then I'm going to send you out. Father, I bless Life Church as they go. And again, I pray that everywhere they look, they see the goodness of God. And they begin to say, that's glory, that's glory, that's glory. At the same time, I pray their mind begins to shift. And when they see darkness or they see holes or voids or hurt or pain or need in their homes or community, their workplace, that they begin to ask the question, how can I bring God's glory, God's goodness into that situation? We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go.